ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
What up, H-Town? It's a Tuesday. The sun is shining bright. And you don't get more sunshine and rainbows than Barry Laminack in studio. Barry is back. Nick is behind the glass. And we are all strapped in and ready to go.
I think I'm deaf now.
Why?
Well, when I plugged in my headphones right as you were talking, the volume was all the way up. And then I put them on my head, and it was
I always have to check mine. Yeah, when I plug in Granado, you know, he has the ears of an 83-year-old man.
Yeah.
So he normally has the volume, like, on high. So I feel for you. You should have let me know.
I don't know who was sitting here, but they are hard of hearing, to say the least. Wow. But what's up?
What's up, man? How was the trip?
It was long.
Doorbells, oil changes.
There was some, I thought there was going to be an uneventful week.
Right.
And then the last day, San Antonio came through in the clutch. So no, not personally. I didn't get violated in any way, shape, or form. Nobody.
Were you disappointed by that?
I am.
No.
I know Nick is.
Why are you
so
lacking
share the story? I just want you to know.
Oh, no, I've got a good story.
Oh, okay, cool.
I just,
segment after a Where is Barry segment, when you are gone for a while.
Yeah.
The first segment is always dedicated to still more stories from camp.
Yeah, so no swingers tried to pick me up. No lady grabbed my butt and then tried to put her finger inside.
The doorbell.
Yeah. But mm-hmm. I was, so
no
this,
pun intended.
Yeah. So this, the club is located at the River Center Mall in San Antonio, and I'm pulling
right there on the Riverwalk, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
And I'm pulling into the parking garage on Sunday. So crowds were kind of light all week. Our best shows were Saturday, you know, we had the most people. Otherwise, it was so uneventful. And I'm pulling into the driveway, of the parking garage, and I see this guy walking away from the parking garage, and he's wearing a Captain America shield, and I don't know why, but it's not a shirt, it's an actual shield, like he's doing cosplay. All right, and so that, okay. I'm just like, all right, that's weird, whatever, you know, so I guess some people just do their thing. And then I see this homeless shirtless guy walk up to this dude and punch him dead off in the face, just bop, and take off running. And I was like, what? So I'm just stopped in the street watching this. And do you know what the guy with the shield does? He sits down Indian style and starts crying.
Oh,
I'm like, no. And of course I'm like, oh, sure. Everyone wants to be a hero until it's time to do hero stuff. And then, nothing.
Well, but Nick, here's my question.
So now you got a grown man,
Houston's
with a black eye.
Houston's best kept secret strong safety did not go flying out of nowhere to blindside this guy?
I was in my car. I was pulling into a parking garage.
Put
no.
In park.
No. Are you kidding me?
Drop the shoulder.
It was great. And it just, I mean, I don't even know why he punched him. Just punched the dude and took off running. How are you going to sit in the street with a Captain America shield on, crying like a baby because you got punched by a homeless guy? Like, that dude, there's lows in your life. That's got to be.
He didn't have to run after the guy.
Are
he could have just.
Sure, there wasn't a different kind of party going on. And
I'm positive. It was the weirdest, strangest, most awesome thing I saw all week, and I've seen in a while. It was so weird.
Did you try and help?
No, I laughed.
Captain
I started
Indian
honking
style?
And pointing and laughing at the dude sitting Indian style crying. It was hilarious.
No, that's not nice.
That was hilarious.
See, that's just not nice. That's mean-spirited.
No,
the guy
it's
might
not.
Need medical attention.
Captain America, my ass.
Yeah.
Like, how do you... One punch. That dude, you got a one-hitter quitter by a homeless guy. That's... Oh, God. And not the hero I'm looking for.
Well, but... Captain...
Iron Man would have never fell down like that and started crying. Never.
Man, Captain America right now somewhere is just looking for...
Yeah. You know, there's some dude that was like, the shield is crap, man. It didn't stop nothing. And he's like...
And I want that dude that was laughing at me, too.
Sending it back for a refund. Yeah, I got punched. This didn't help at all. Nothing. I want my money back. Amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you didn't help?
No. Okay. Why would I help?
Because one...
There was no real crime committed other than
that dude. Are you kidding me?
Other than some dude with some dork with a shield on getting punched. That's not a crime. He probably deserved it. He's walking around with a shield on. He's walking around with a shield on.
Have you seen in Houston the kids that play the knockout game?
Yeah.
That's a crime.
If you walk around, that was a homeless guy. I don't know why he did it either. But if you're walking around with a shield on, it might as well say punch me on the shield. Like, that's like, why? It's uncalled for.
Anytime a grown man is walking around with a shield, though, it is a bit suspect.
Yeah.
Without question.
Exactly. It's like, you know, it's like you're saying, like, try me. Like, I'm a superhero. No, you're not. Apparently not.
They got room for him on the strip in Vegas. He could probably make a few bucks taking pictures, but San Antonio?
Even in Times Square next to the Naked Cowboy.
Yeah, and there was no, like, cosplay convention or anything.
That's what I was thinking. Like, there had to be some convention.
No, just some weirdo walking around with a shield on his back. And he didn't have on, like, a full costume. He didn't even have on, like, a Captain America shirt.
Was he wearing a pink hat?
No.
Okay.
He had nothing. It was just,
you know, because
some dude.
The last couple of days, the pink hats have been gathering.
Have they?
Yeah.
No. It's just some dude with a shield on. Weird. Very weird, San Antonio. But I enjoyed watching it immensely.
Did the shield have the other two sports radio stations in Houston on it?
No.
No? Just thought I'd throw that out there, too. All right. So did you find a warm, cozy place to watch the games?
I watched 1.5 of the games. I was 8 o'clock. We had a show Sunday at 8 o'clock, so I missed.
Didn't miss much.
I didn't think so. I was able to catch bits and pieces of it in the bar in between sets.
The one thing that we brought up yesterday about that time that was just the Brady fumble, the fact that Brady fumbled.
Yeah.
The referee made the case of Pittsburgh is challenging the ruling that there was a fumble and that Pittsburgh and pointed out and Pittsburgh recovered it and then came back to say. There wasn't. And
that wasn't going to help.
Yeah, but that's what I said. At the end of the day, it's not going to affect.
It's like talking about all the missed opportunities for turnovers in the Falcons-Packers game.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't going to help.
No.
There was no getting around those two teams winning.
Now, let me ask you this because I asked Travis this yesterday, too. It seems like Houston, a lot of times from just a sexy, powerful matchup, gets gypped. The Final Four was awful when they had Butler and VCU and a lot of teams that, you know, you were hoping they would be nothing but Duke, Carolina, and, you know, all the big names.
Right.
Last time Super Bowl was here, Carolina wasn't the big sexy pick. Jape Delhomme, that kind of thing. And now Atlanta seems to be getting picked on because of the fact that they're not one of the big, powerful organizations.
Now, are you saying that because they're not
really
the Packers?
Not. I'm really not. No, because I was the first one to say, and people got
it's
mad at me.
It's the number one offense versus the number two offense. That's
but
sexy.
But a lot of people. A lot of people have made reference to the fact whether it's their fan base and traveling and they don't travel, all these different things, but it's not the Cowboys, Steelers, you know, all these different. But I think it's great. I think Matt Ryan's the story of the year. I mean, I've said all along to you guys, he's the most valuable player. So if you've got the number one offense against the you know, I guess you can call him a dynasty in some degree, the Patriots and the way they, what they've done, and Belichick has 2 weeks to try and devise a scheme defensively, that's a great matchup.
Yeah, and it's the number one scoring offense versus the number one scoring defense.
Right. Yep.
Which makes it, I mean, that's, to me, this is, it's a great matchup because you want to see Matt Ryan, what are you made of now? You finally got the curse of the monkey off your back about fading down the stretch and not winning in the playoffs. You've made it this far. Is he gonna establish his legacy as, you know, a good to great quarterback in this league because he's won a Super Bowl, or is he just going to be that guy that, oh, man, he was always so close and never did it? You know, you got the legacy with Brady. I think everyone, I'm not even a Patriots fan, but I think a lot of people are just rooting for the fact that they want them to win to see the handoff of the trophy and how
Without
that goes
question.
Down.
That's I said that, be, by the way, there's no doubt Robert Kraft was lit up like a freaking spotlight.
Yeah.
But you know, everybody took the high road for now, for the most part. But yeah, I mean, Roger Goodell is the biggest Falcon. I said it yesterday. He's the biggest Falcons fan on the planet right now because that's the only way he can prevent what everybody is looking forward to more than anything in this football season, which is him having to actually have to stand up and face the music. And one of those two guys won't be so nice, I have a feeling.
How do you think it would go down? I mean, if they let's assume the Patriots win, it's just going to be one of those things where they just stare at him. Like, you know how sometimes you just make someone look foolish by not responding to them when they talk to you?
Brady's got a lot of fire normally.
Would you snatch it out of his hands?
He was so mysteriously over the top. Like, I want to thank all my family and my mom and my dad and my sisters and everything. it's like that was so not what I what Tom Brady normally is that I just got to believe he's going to have one in his back pocket loaded up and ready to go for Raj to say, you didn't want me here. You know,
you think he would do that live?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you think he would do that when they're... Yeah.
As easy as Peyton Manning...
I would just mush face
...was talking about Budweiser the entire Super Bowl postgame, I think Tom could have comments for Roger.
I'd like to see Tom just kind of, like, mush him in the face. Just push his face, like, boom, give me the trophy. This, you know what I mean? Just like big league,
And if the Zinfandel is really flowing again in Robert Kraft's suite, I think that there's a pretty good chance that between hiccups and burps and pregnant pauses, he'll have plenty to say.
Yeah. Lance Ford said he's heading to San Antonio this weekend and that he'll be seeing if he's still sitting there crying. So it could be. It very well could be.
By the way, if you were down in that mall,
yeah,
that is close to Dick's Last Resort or where it used to be.
What is... What?
There is, you see, when I kept saying that Barry's going to Dick's,
yeah,
and performing at Dick's Last Resort,
yeah,
forever when we used to travel there with the Rockets and stay at the what do you call it? The Riverwalk.
Yeah.
That one of the fun places to eat and then hang out is Dick's Last Resort.
I think, yeah, I do know what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a restaurant slash sometimes they have comedy. They have a bunch of, maybe it went out of business and someone else bought it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the shirts were always great just to have.
I know what you're talking about based on the shirt.
Whatever. Yeah.
Trey said he would have thrown his shield at him. I doubt it, Trey. I think Trey would have cried too.
Oh, there's no question. Yeah. Trey would have cried, and yeah, yeah, Trey wouldn't have been able to keep his pants up.
And El Jefe asked, did the hobo yell out, Hail Hydra? Take off running. That's pretty funny.
So there you go. We got a full show ahead of it. We've plenty to talk about. We've got a full list of things to get to. We want you to participate. 713-780-ESPN. That's 713-780-3776. Get you into the show via text message, which Barry will check, or via calls, which Nick will take. And, of course, we all check our Twitter. At Barry is funny. At No Hit Nick. At Pac-Man Joel with a K. We're here till 4 o'clock. We're ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Nick, and Barry, until 4 o'clock. No, I didn't say Naked Barry. I said Joel Nickenberry. As we continue to roll through. So the Rockets last night, Nicholas and Barry,
mm-hmm,
could have swept the season series against the team with the most points in the paint of any team in the league. A team that we were a bit concerned about when they came into the big Sequoia and they got their butts handed to them. But a different story last night as... From the beer capital of the world, the beard was forced to fear the deer because Adetokunbo and Jabari Parker went nuts. There was no defense played at all when they gave up 127 points. And your faithful Rockets took one on the chin.
Stings a little.
Oof, boy, it was not a good win. I mean, not a good loss. Because of the fact that
they were back.
Well, but there's some. I mean, when you're, you know, if you're shorthanded and you go into a game playing a contender or a top team and you blow for blow with them, maybe go overtime and then lose, that's a pretty good loss, especially on the second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah, but it's a team that we're not, I mean, the Rockets are not going to face them. They're a below 500 team in the East. I mean, it's...
Are you making excuses, Nicholas?
It's not making excuses. It's a team that's really not going to be a factor probably within the next... They probably won't be a factor for the next 2 or 3 years. So.
I disagree with that. And I've said this, the fact that they are the Rockets of last year. They don't have any shooters, but they got a hell of a lot of talent. You look at that box score and look at their starting five and look at not... Look, everybody was in double figures, but that if they get Chris Middleton back and they get a couple shooters in the next year or two, look, the East is depleted anyway, aside from Toronto and Cleveland. They could be a top four team next year.
What?
I don't think so at all.
I think Milwaukee
top
could
four
be a
team in the East?
In the East.
Oh.
Yeah, in the East.
I don't think so.
That's your man NBA.
No.
Well, who's yeah. Raptors, Cavs, Hawks. I mean, it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, the Hawks are
Celtics.
Every day they're talking about breaking up their squad. I would put Boston kind of up there. Which means
they might sneak into four.
Yeah.
But they got to get past. I mean,
they got a good young roster to build around. I think they're on the uptick rather than the downswing. But
okay, yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah,
I think to me they're more like the Jazz.
But thankfully Oklahoma City beat them at the buzzer last night. But Utah's in the four seed playing really good ball quietly.
That's a scary team. Them and Memphis, yeah, for sure.
But
in the West.
To me, the Bucks this year are like the Jazz last year, where it's like, well, you can really see they if they get it all together. They could be scary, but I don't know about the Rockets because the Rockets were a year removed from a Western Conference championship or final as opposed to...
True. You know, see your point there, but I'm saying just style of play and roster makeup. You look at what the Rockets had last year when they were... We always talk about how they relied on Beverly and Ariza to make shots, and that's not their forte. That's kind of where the Bucks are right now. They're going to ride Parker and Adetokounmpo, and then from there try and figure out where they're going to get more contributions and points. Last night, Dellavedova and some guys contributed because they shook up their starting line. They had lost five in a row.
I'd hate to be their play-by-play guy, having to pronounce all those names. Forget about it.
I don't think that's...
I
would even just say Giannis, right?
Like, well, they just use numbers.
They call him the freak. A lot. But that, you heard that a lot of... They thought that a lot of his popularity was affected by the fact that people did not want to pronounce his name because they were afraid they're going to hack it up. And that's why a lot of people called him the Greek freak. But
really,
yeah. So, and you know, you guys realize I know Kurt Lowe's out there because he called yesterday, Barry, and he's disappointed he missed you. Yeah,
gee, I'm so upset.
I know you are. But people were worried that Harden wasn't going to get that triple double, but he got it, and it was impressive.
You're so wrong,
because he did have 26 points, 12 assists, 9 rebounds, and 11 turnovers.
Hey.
Normally, when they are off their track, the turnovers go through the roof. For the beard, and then others follow. But 21 turnovers last night, and the Rockets are the fourth worst team in the league in terms of allowing points off of those turnovers, too. Mm. So that'll catch you. Because, look, I never was worried about that game for 3.5 quarters. I figured they're keeping it close. They're just going to put the pedal down late. They're going to make a surge, and they're going to put the Rockets.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're going to put them away. And instead, you know, it's tough on the road, too. And that's a very cold building in a very cold city. And if you're, you know, you got to have your mind right. The focus has got to be there, and you got to be making shots. And again, last night we found out when they're not making shots, they have still yet to master what to do to create offense. And on the opposing side, a team that I just got done highlighting how bad they shoot the ball shot 59% from the floor and 48% from three.
Yeah, but I don't know. Did you? I mean, because in the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. what I saw to be the problem was turnovers. Just carelessness with the ball.
There was four specific turnovers really
turnovers.
And it goes to his point about getting points off the turnover.
But right. It doesn't have anything as much to do with the shooting because what I saw...
That's an overall game theme.
But I'm just talking about last night. Last night, they were driving plenty. They were driving and dishing. They were moving the ball. They didn't take care of it. So, I mean, they've shot 40% from three. So to say that it wasn't falling... Wouldn't be necessarily.
There were spurts that it wasn't so on the 11-0 Milwaukee run, and then later in the fourth quarter, the 11-1 run was more turnover driven. Yeah. The 11-0 run was they were still trying to force up threes when there were better opportunities to be had they decided to go inside the 3-point line. That's Mikhail used to call it getting the ball sticky,
mm-hmm.
but that's a problem that when the Rockets allow teams to go on runs, that the theme a lot of the times becomes they're still so reliant on feeling like they have to get the three up when they have other options. Look, I like the way they got contributions. Capella finally broke out. Got it. Looks like he's getting his win back. But 7 of 12 for him is great, but only 3 boards. You know, and when he is the big on the floor, he's got to get more than 3 rebounds. But defensively, you can't give up 127 points to the Bucks. I was looking at the score with about a minute to go in the third quarter going, holy crap, they're over 90, and we haven't even tipped off the fourth quarter yet. That's not good.
And usually when they do lose games, they're not allowing 125 points. I don't know what happened in this particular game. Someone must have got hot. I just don't remember which person that probably went on the streak. And I think the other thing is that you're starting to see that's not good for the Rockets is you're starting to see Eric Gordon show a little bit of inconsistency. He's not making as many three-pointers as he was, mm-hmm. especially at the beginning of the games. And I think that's more of a concern more than the post presence or the post defense presence or anything like that.
And I think one of the main things is that the two guys that did go off, you know, are the two guys that went off here too. You know, Adetokounmpo and Parker, 31 and 28 respectively. I mean, those are big numbers, 8 and 7 boards. you know, they combined for 15 boards, 10 dimes, and 59 points.
But they had some timely defense, too. There were several transition baskets that got blocked that as the game was getting a lot closer.
And I think that's why they won the first game against Milwaukee, because if you look at the stat sheet, Giannis had a great game, 32 points. He had 28 points in the first half,
right.
two points in the third, two in the fourth, yeah. Didn't score a single point in the final 8 minutes of regulation. Mm. They contained him.
Yeah.
But they didn't do that here.
Nope.
So, I mean, of course, and a guy like that with so much raw talent, as you mentioned before, I mean, he really doesn't know how good he is. I don't think he does, because he makes it look so easy when he goes to the basket.
Did he do the shimmy after he sank that last three?
I don't know. Did he?
I think he did a little hardened shimmy kind of thing there. I was like, uh-oh. Well, that's kind of nasty. But so,
I can show this to you guys, but one of the things that I was looking at, to my point, though, Barry, is when you look at the shot chart of makes and misses.
Uh-huh.
You basically can play connect the dots around the three-point line for Houston. And then when you look at Milwaukee, it's like more than half of their shots occur within 15 feet to the rim.
Yeah, but that's not the Rockets' game.
Well, I understand it's not the Rockets' game, but I'm saying, to my point, overall, when they're behind, they can't. I just think that when they're not making them, they don't find other options. They don't look for other options to score. And I always say attack the rim or get in the paint. And then when they're behind, sometimes there are better options than a contested three. But a lot of times I just think they get three happy. But overall, my biggest concerns last night were the defense to give up 127 and the way they gave them up. And then, you know, secondly, I guess, and more importantly, were the turnovers. Because of the fact that they came in bunches, and when they came in bunches, to my point earlier about where they fall in the league rankings, it seemed like every time they turned it over, Milwaukee converted it into two.
Yeah, I would agree. That's what I was thinking. That's like, man, what a time for turnovers and inability to play transition defense. Because I was with you. I'm watching it going, yeah, they're just keeping it close. This will be fine. They'll run away with it in the fourth quarter. They'll just start hitting threes like crazy, and they'll win by 10, and that never happened. Mm-mm. Although, give credit to the Rockets. They are streak stoppers. That is two.
It's Miami and Milwaukee that they knocked out. And by the way,
and Minnesota had a four-game losing streak, didn't they?
Yeah, so they've snapped losing streaks of 4, 5, and 5.
Yeah.
And here's the thing.
Streak stoppers, baby!
I said this to you. I think I said it to you, Nick. After the Heat loss, I said, this is the kind of game that gives Miami all kinds of confidence because of the fact that, you know, they did say that. And guess what happened? Last night, they beat Golden State and snapped their 7-game winning streak.
Wow.
So, Deion Waiters definitely did a shimmy.
Do the Rockets get a half a win for that?
Quite possibly. It's under review right now. We're sending it back to the league office. But at the same time, if you go watch that video, not only did Deion Waiters shimmy after he made the three, but I believe he yelled at the top of his lungs more than 5 times, this is my, and continued to yell it because Deion Waiters is all about Deion Waiters. But that was a hell of a game. So your Rockets fall to 34-14, still very respectable, 17-9 on the road. But this week is tough for them. They got Boston tomorrow night. They got an improved Philly team coming up on Friday night. And then they've got a weekend matinee against the Indiana Pacers. So a full steady dose of Eastern Conference teams. Got to take care of business. And I think it starts with, and D'Antoni mentioned in his postgame press conference, they just got to start putting bodies on guys. There was too much free flow from Milwaukee where those guys weren't taking little hip checks and bumps. When they came into the lane, they weren't getting knocked around. They were basically like doing whatever they wanted when they got in the lane. I think the Rockets have to show a little bit more physicality. So we'll see what happens. All right. So we talked about the Rockets. If you want to talk about them, you can call us and let us know. Otherwise, we'll move on to more pressing topics that we have. We've got a full list of things to get to. We'd love to see you participate in the show. 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4 o'clock as we continue to roll. We were talking about the Rockets before the break, and some ex-Rockets put a little bit of a exclamation mark on a win last night for a team in the Rockets division. In case you missed it, the New Orleans Pelicans, playing without the brow, Anthony Davis, beat the NBA world champion Cleveland Cavaliers last night, behind in part the strength of two former Rockets. Terrence Jones had 15 of the first 19 points for the Dirty Birds and tallied 36 points and 11 rebounds in a starting role. And off the bench, Demo, 14 points, 4 boards, and a plus 15 on the ledger as they beat the Cavaliers. And to say the least, LeBron was not pleased after the game.
This quarter was not that well. We didn't play well all in the first quarter and allowed them to get that lead. And, you know, when you get behind like that, even the shots that you start to play defensively and contest, they were still hitting a bunch of bombs. So just too comfortable to start the game.
Do you think Davis being out could have subconsciously affected the intensity of you guys coming in at all?
Well, we had a game plan as if he was playing this morning and didn't know that he wasn't playing until 30 minutes on the clock. So we had to switch our whole game plan, which kind of, you know, was just tough, you know, an adjustment period. But we still have to, you know, be better than that. It's been a 2017 so far.
Yeah, he went on to cuss several more times and basically highlighted in detail how this team, standing pat as it sits right now, is not talented enough to repeat and that they need help. Now, because this has become such a big story in the last 24 hours after he said that, he tweeted recently, "I'm not mad or upset at management because Griff," meaning David Griffin, the GM, "and his staff have done a great job. I just feel we still need to improve in order to repeat."
I like it.
So I was going to say to you guys, good or bad that your superstar, best player, is calling out management and saying that we aren't as good as everybody thinks we are as we stand right now?
I think it's good. I mean, I don't know that he called out management.
Oh, he did.
He's done it before, too.
Yeah, and there's more to it in the article that we didn't get to because all the cuss words made it like Morse code.
Uh-huh.
But he basically came out and said, I don't think, you know, he basically said, look, when it comes to playoff time, we're going to go 8, maybe 9 deep, but mostly 8. And I don't feel that 8 is talented enough.
But is that calling out the players?
He then continues to highlight the fact that we need help. I don't think the roster's talented enough right now.
Well, the help thing is different.
He also said we're very top heavy. He said, aside from me, Kyrie, and Kevin, I don't know that we have much. And that's not saying much. I think that's twofold because it's also not exactly complimentary to the locker room and the rest of the guys in it.
Yeah.
And that's my whole thing. He's been vocal about getting particular position players like guards and stuff like that. But here's my whole deal. He's a superstar, and I guess he's earned the right. You know, I mean, without him, they would have never won a championship. But the more he addresses it in the public, the more attention he's going to put on himself. So he can't get mad at the media for following up if he continues to go to the public about position players they need to pursue or adjustments they need to make on the team. I mean, he's just going to get more and more questions. So I guess he's earned the right.
But here's some of his comments, just to give you some context. He said, we're not better than last year from a personnel standpoint. Great to have bodies. Great. Obviously, in the playoffs, you go down to, 8 guys max. And if somebody gets in foul trouble, you go to 9. You're not playing back-to-backs. You have 2 days in between. You're labeled to lock in. But right now, we're just not talented enough. It's like when you don't have bodies, it's tough. The effing grind of the regular season. We're a top-heavy team. We have a top-heavy team. We have top heavy as, to me, it's Kyrie, Kevin, and me. It's top heavy. So I'm not singling anybody out. Yeah, we won a championship, but F-bomb, you know what? We need to do something.
Well, didn't they go out and get Kyle Korver?
That was a start. But again, remember what I said a long time ago?
They did something. So why? I mean, but that's the thing.
So here it is. Remember what I said? I said this like what? I said it a month ago. They were looking for a point guard. And I kept saying that as much as they drafted one, the kid wasn't ready. They lost Dellavedova. They need someone behind Kyrie. Well, he says in his later comments, we need an effing playmaker. I'm not saying you can just go find one, like you can go outside and you see trees. I didn't say that. But we need someone that can make plays. So
they've got 3 guys that can make plays. What is he talking about?
About a point guard. I mean, I think that...
That's Kyrie, though.
But again, you think about it.
What is this dude talking about?
Well, I said this when we talked about it the last time. When Kyrie sits down, someone's got to get them in their offense. Someone's got to make plays. Dellavedova might not have been superstar material, but he did the little things to keep that machine moving until Kyrie checked back into the game. They don't have anybody backing up Kyrie this year.
LeBron's the point. I mean, he had 12 assists. He led the team in assists. This dude, that part doesn't make sense
to me. I think
he's frustrated and he's trying to figure, fire people up, or I don't know what it is, but that kind of logic doesn't make sense. You've got three guys that scored the majority of their points in this game last night. Their bench plus Thompson and Shumpert scored 25 points total combined. They had four guys off the bench plus those two starters and Thompson and Shumpert that scored 25 total, and the rest of the team scored the other 100 or 98.
Yeah.
Like, he's right that they're being top heavy, but at the same time, LeBron was a minus 10 on the floor.
And to back up what I was saying, though, he said, look, for the most part, knock on wood, but if Kyrie goes down for 2 weeks, let's say two, what then? And what if and then he said, like you said, what if I go down for 3 weeks? He's like, yeah, y'all are worried about 5 minute stints of a backup point guard. What if I went down for 2 weeks trying to build something, you know? So I think he's definitely concerned about depth, and he's definitely concerned about the backup point guard position.
And he's kind of depending on Kyrie now at the end of the game. So he wants him to be fresh, and that's probably why he wants somebody to back up, just to kind of relieve.
Wouldn't everybody love to be too deep, though? I mean, come on, LeBron. Move on, bro.
Well, he also said...
Like, everybody would love to be too deep with stars at every
position. He said he defended Tyronn Lue because, to your point, Barry, he thinks that even though he's kind of deferred more, tried to give Kyrie more opportunities to lead the team, that he and Kyrie are playing too many minutes. But he said, what else are we going to do? Kyrie had to do that. I try to mix in my plays, but we don't have a choice. We have what we have. So you can tell he's disgruntled, and he thinks that they need to do something to try and bring in a point guard. But you know what? Twofold, what he said and what you said. There's not just like point guards out there for the taking that you couldn't go out and get. Now, if some team has a surplus or is willing to make a move or is not going where they expected to go and has a veteran that might be able to slide in, great. I just, off the top of my head, I can't think of – I even look at Sacramento and go, I don't think he's thinking about Ty Lawson. So I don't know where he's going to find a backup point guard that fits that mold.
It's silly to think that you can be too deep with stars across the board. That's not how this works.
Not necessarily stars, but they
have to be. Golden State, like, you have a really solid two.
Reason why it's Golden State and everybody else, guys. There's not that many damn players to go around.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want? What do you want these GMs to do?
You're saying that I'm siding with LeBron. I'm just saying I understand the point that they need a backup point guard.
I'm just saying his point is silly. I'm not saying who's siding with him. I'm just saying his point about depth is kind of silly.
It's the same point I made about Golden State a year ago. A year ago, when you could bring in not only Barbosa, but you could bring Livingston in, who's the 1-2 combo guard. They're loaded. Their whole second union was loaded. This year, it's not the same. I think they are also a team that's looking to try and do something to enhance their.
And some of those guys are starters now that left Golden State to go other places. Yeah. But that's my point. Name four teams that can go as deep as LeBron thinks the Cavs should be able to go. It doesn't exist in the NBA.
Well, and you say some of them are starters. Harrison Barnes is starting for the Mavs. Other than that, Barbosa's coming off the bench for the Suns, and Spates is coming off the bench for the Clippers. But I mean, when you bring in McAdoo and two rookies, or basically for all intents and purposes, rookies on the second unit for the Warriors, it's definitely not even close to as strong as they were a year ago. But you also put your starting lineup on steroids because you took Harrison Barnes out and you added Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And then you substitute, basically, I would say, as close to a wash. You take out Bogut, but you add Zsa Zsa Pachulia, and no one's going to say you got better or worse there. So it basically... They just sacrificed their bench to add another superstar.
Somebody texted and said LeBron saying that he's not good enough so that everyone gives him a pass in June. Could be.
That's why I always
hedge your bets.
That's why I always
hedge
say,
your bets.
And the millennials hate me for saying it. Michael's the greatest of all time for a lot of reasons. And
if he keeps going to the public about it, I guarantee you we won't stop talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, and he plays the media a lot. Which is for certain. So,
by the way, real quick, earlier in the show, I didn't read the text because it wasn't topical, but a lot of the texts were coming in. But I did want to read this one because I haven't had a chance to say anything. I heard you guys talking about it on my drive-in. Mm-hmm. But somebody said, so Keenan McCardle is going to be the Jags wide receiver coach. Will we get some audio or sound on that anytime soon?
Sure.
That was the text, and I just wanted to say congratulations to our buddy Keenan McCardle. That's awesome.
I talked to him this morning.
Fantastic.
He called me last night, and then we caught up this morning. He leaves for Jacksonville tomorrow morning, mm-hmm. But I told him we'd still like to have him on, so we're going to try and work that out. And maybe today I can get on the phone during a break, like right now, and see if he can't give us 5 minutes just to kind of catch up before he goes. Because
pretty cool,
he's already
really cool.
Being courted to get there as soon as possible to get working. So
congrats!
They need the help. So
they got great receivers.
Get on that plane, Keenan. Yeah, you got your work cut out.
He's
for
got
you.
Great young receivers to deal with, but until someone figures out how to get him the ball,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's no fault of his.
Go be a pal with the QB coach.
There you have it. All right, so we'll try and get Keenan on for you as well. You ask, we shall try and deliver. We are ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
All right, everybody, we're back.
I have sent the text message to Keenan McCardell, so hopefully we'll hear back from him to try and get him on today or at the very latest tomorrow when he gets back to his stomping grounds of Jacksonville.
Hey, Tyler T-Strange64 on Twitter tweeted at me because earlier in the first segment, you were talking about Dick's Last Resort.
Yeah.
And he tweeted this picture and it says, Dick's Last Resort puts a bag on your head and writes something really bad and you can't look at it the whole time you eat. Is that a, and then his bag says, I just farted. And it's got like, it's hilarious. And it's got this little bag. Is that, did you, did that happen to you?
I don't recall that. But I did get a t-shirt because their t-shirts were very, very funny.
Yeah.
Like, and I remember when we were traveling, when I traveled with the team, that we all got t-shirts because they were edgy and, and very humorous.
Okay. All right. That's
so,
I
don't know if they're still in existence. But that's, there definitely was one on the Riverwalk that we used to hit up when we were in San Antonio.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Yeah, I just saw that and thought that was pretty funny.
So the latest, Travis Johnson should be aware of this, the latest merchandising stats are out, only not for the NFL so that he can go off the reservoir in his guesses. NBA, players and teams. Not sure if you guys saw this or not. Your MVP candidate, number one in your hearts, number 13 on his uniform. But number 12 in jersey sales. James Harden is at 12.
Okay.
You want to gander at the top five? Really not a lot of surprises?
LeBron, Curry.
LeBron is two. Curry is one.
Yeah. Westbrook.
Five.
The Brow?
The Brow is not in the top 15.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Some surprises in the top 15.
Who am I missing? Who am I missing? Because that's right off the top.
Top five, Curry, LeBron, Durant.
Okay, yeah, duh.
Dumb Kyrie, ass. Which surprises me a little bit.
Yeah, that does surprise me. I wouldn't have guessed Kyrie in the top five.
I would have put Harden more up in that category. But yeah. So Curry, LeBron, KD, Kyrie, and Russ Westbrook.
Okay.
Okay. Second five, D-Wade.
Really?
Yeah.
Let it go, people.
Kawhi is eight. Seven is surprising to me.
Kawhi gets no respect.
No.
None.
Quietest superstar in the league. Seven is very surprising to me, but he does play in a major market.
Pat Beverly.
Porzingis.
Oh, really?
Porzingis. Yeah, even more than Melo, who's 15.
Yeah.
So second five goes Wade, Porzingis, Kawhi, Jimmy Butler, Derrick Rose, and then 10 through 15 is... Derrick Rose is at 10. Then Klay Thompson, Harden, Lillard, Adetokounmpo, and Melo.
See, I would have thought Adetokounmpo would have been higher just based off of the run he's getting.
I think his run's just starting, though. Like his first all-star start.
He is everywhere on SportsCenter all the time. They love having, you know, highlights of that kid because he's fun to watch. And, yeah, I think his popularity is growing. That's why I would have thought it would have been. I would have put him top 10, you know, had I guessed. I would have thought. But I also would have had Harden.
Plus,
like
internationally, because this includes international sales, you would think that the Greek freak starts picking up a lot of love internationally.
Yeah. And I would have had Harden top five for sure.
I definitely,
so that's crazy.
I would have Harden at four where Kyrie is.
But maybe he doesn't get respect more so than Kawhi Leonard, if that's the case. Because what he's doing right now.
Right now,
I
don't think there's any argument. He's the MVP. The only thing I will say and I continue to say is, just like he got screwed by them saying when he lost to Curry, and I really did think he had the better overall year than Curry did, but they said Curry's team won more games, therefore he did more for his team to win victory, to get victories. Now you can't factor that in because the one thing that I keep saying is because the thing that'll hurt him is if Westbrook ends up averaging a triple-double for the year because it hasn't happened since 61-62, and whether you like it or not or you agree with it or not, from a national perspective, it's going to get so much run. It's going to get so much attention. And I think it's going to sway voters. And again, because we always say we don't know the criteria in which there is no set criteria that people are supposed to follow when they vote. I'm afraid that's going to hurt Harden because there's no doubt in my mind he's the best player in the league this year.
Somebody had a good point on text. The Rockets jersey is ugly. That's why Harden's jerseys don't sell. It is. It's not a pretty.
Is it? Do you guys think it's not like a
good look? Yeah, not a good look.
I love
look.
The
I
black
like
ones.
Don't like it.
I completely disagree.
Logo's ugly. I don't think the
maybe,
colors.
Maybe it is a little ugly, but it's not ugly to the point where it's affecting sales that much.
What do you think is ugly about that jersey?
That stupid or the logo. R. That stupid R.
The R does bother you.
The R with the rocket on the flying up the side. And
you don't like
on,
the black
man.
Ones? How about
but
the black
you're the rockets.
Ones?
Eh. I love the black ones.
I think the black ones are great.
I'm glad they added black to the repertoire of colors because I think it enhanced it because the red, white, and gray was eh. And then they tried to bring back the old school yellow. The mustard and ketchup.
The Clutch City uniform.
That wasn't happening.
Which was good until they screwed with it and put Clutch City on the front. I understand that Clutch City is the Rockets, Houston's thing, but just having that ketchup and mustard with the old with Houston on the front was good for me because it gave paid homage, but it wasn't over the
like
top.
I didn't like the yellow and the red. I don't know. That's my.
I think you're gonna.
I just love it.
I was gonna say. I think in this town, if everybody had their druthers, the Rockets' official colors would still be
like.
Ketchup,
I'm still mad I haven't
replaced
my old cap because it's like completely dirty. I want to get another throwback. They're great, man. Those are the best colors.
Ugh. Yeah, I think Houston feels like their basketball team should always be
best
ketchup
uni in this
and
town
mustard.
By yep. far is the Astros orange and blue and gray by far. The best colors and unis in this town.
I don't know that I can agree with that. That's a different topic all in itself. But
and I do think the Texans need to update their logo, too. I'm starting to get sick of that thing, too.
But I'm curious. Like, okay, so here's the other thing, too.
I'll say it.
On a couple of things. No, and I'm glad.
Hard-hitting.
This is a good conversation.
Edgy.
But if I say it, I'll get drilled somewhere
right,
in the city
right.
for it.
They'll be like, so, that Joel's such a hater. What an out-of-town hate bag. It's true that you will catch
that
it.
That transplant.
Yeah.
His favorite NASCAR guy is still Richard Petty. Well, because he's, you know, because he is. So I'm
Joel's
be,
take is like the Rockets need horns like a buck. What? That doesn't.
I just think the Rockets uniforms are stellar. Yeah. No, but I'm curious because I remember a lot of people when they made the change and they had to make the change because the pajama pinstripes were
ugly,
awful.
That was terrible,
right?
Yep.
So you make the change and they bring in some Broadway or Academy Award winning costume designer. But the first knock on them is you got Yao Ming and the uniforms look just like the Chinese national team.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And instead of having the opportunity to go back to ketchup and mustard, you go with this red, silver, white theme.
Yep.
And so I'm just curious, like, because the thing that, like, last year, the gray uniform. The checkerboard throws me off.
Yeah, don't like the checkerboard at all.
And they say that that's a reference to NASA and on rocket ships. And I know that a lot of people researched it internally and externally. Never seen a checkerboard on a rocket ship.
Are they sure they didn't get NASA and NASCAR confused?
Great call.
Like, well, we thought Houston was the home of NASCAR.
Yeah, and the tie-in with NASCAR and Houston is thing. Prevalent all
and
over
I,
the
and
city.
And I actually mm-hmm. like those. I like that color, but that
here's the other thing, Nick, that
just...
people don't realize: the checkerboard is in the black uniform too. It's just black on black, and you can't see it as easily because it's stitched on the side. Same spot as the gray uniform.
Didn't notice. Yeah.
So that's interesting. I thought most people liked that uniform.
Most people might. I just can't stand it. I don't like it. I think that the Rockets could come up with a better logo. But if that's my biggest complaint, then I guess.
I think the problem, too, is the Rocket.
Love with
it,
yeah.
Get a good logo for a Rocket, I guess. Or maybe
it's
not. Or maybe it is.
That's true, but you know what? It's H-Town and it's Clutch City, so use that to come up with the logo.
And I like the HR combo logo that they came up with a couple years ago. I like that for baseball hats and stuff. But overall, like the other thing I was going to throw out to you guys, and this is a great question. What's the best uniform in the city of Houston? Anybody can chime in at any time, but call us, let us know, tweet us, text us. You said the Astros orange.
Absolutely.
So let's get here from people. What's the best uniform on a professional team in Houston? Because I don't need to hear Rice University's baseball team or whatever that you get my throw or the Dynamo.
But yeah.
Okay, so let me know that. And then here's the thing I want to throw out for you guys, and we'll get your answers after the break. But are you worried about the fact that if you want a new logo for the Texans,
the
Rockets have changed several times, that you... You lose that iconic like status. The Yankees, the Dodgers, you know, a lot of teams had that iconic status. But because the Texans came along later, you're saying it doesn't matter?
No.
You're supposed to wait till after the break.
There's no okay, I will.
So we'll hear from Barry and Nick and probably you guys as well as you let us know. What's your favorite uniform in the city of Houston? And also, are you okay with multiple changes over the years in terms of the logo, or does it need to stay consistent to try and be iconic? Let us know, 713-780-ESPN. Hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4 o'clock, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.